We're back. Republic of Texas radio show. Today's date is Sunday, September the 18th, 2022. We just call it 22. Or at least I'm trying to just call it 22. I'm Steve O'Brien, and that's Alan Crutcher. We were just talking about propane and LNG. We were talking about a lot of stuff, 3D printing homes, and we'll probably get back to that. But Alan, a quick search on what LNG is, and maybe you get a little bit better understanding of that, is liquefied natural gas, LNG. And yes, they do in Europe and so forth run their buses on it. Those poor buggers, they're not getting any gas from Russia, so how are they going to liquefy it and stick it into their bus to run it? But yeah, they do. And the funny thing about it is the LNG seems to be less powerful, right? It produces less BTUs per ounce, or, you know, the same amount is about 2.5 times weaker than propane. So, which could explain why the buses are converted over. They're kind of diesel-ish, I believe. I've heard them before, LNG buses, and they sound like diesel motors, whereas opposed propane motors.
I just wonder what the actual emission, you know, what the signature of the exhaust gas is produced from LNG or propane. I wonder the comparison in that. You know, which one is, if you want to call it air quote cleaner. You know, I really don't know that.
I don't know either. Hey, we got Art in Georgia. Let's bring him on the line. Maybe he's a propanologist. Are you there, Art?
I'm not a propanologist, I can guarantee you that. Although I do cook with propane.
All right. Well, that's good enough.
Yeah, I have a propane stove with a wood stove back.
Sweet.
So that's how that one works out. But anyway, Steve, am I correct in understanding that you don't agree with Governor Abbott sending migrants to Martha's Vineyard?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I don't. I really don't.
You know, actually, I thought that was a good move. I mean, let's think about this logically. They have prided themselves at Martha's Vineyard for being so inclusive and diverse that they actually, part of their ideology is being inclusive and all of that, even though they are 89% white. But, you know, it's amazing. They claimed on Martha's Vineyard that they did not have the resources to deal with 50 illegal immigrants, but it took them less than 24 hours to ship every one of them off Martha's Vineyard.
Right.
I think this is a great move. If these cities, these Democrats, want open borders and such as that, then I say, yeah, let's ship these immigrants to these liberal cities and let them get a taste of what Texas and Arizona and Southern California have been going through for years.
Yeah.
Arkansas went through that,
totally
too. I mean,
that.
My God, that, you know, Don Tyson started shipping him in to work in his chicken plant, and I lived in Fort Smith, Arkansas, in an old neighborhood, and when the people were dying off, everyone that bought a house did not speak English. They would put the Mexican flag up the flagpole that the Stars and Stripes flew on, you know, whether you agree with all that or not. But, you know, and what I do object to, Art, is that, you know, and I believe it was DeSantis that sent those up to Martha's Vineyard, and he didn't stick them on a Greyhound. He flew them up there. You know, they went first class.
Well, that's because they probably were guarding. They wouldn't let them across on a bus, you know, because when they showed up to get on a ferry to go over to the island, they'd go, oh, hell no, you're not bringing those aboard. So when a couple charter jets landed, and then all of a sudden they're like, well, who is this? Okay, where are they from? Why are they here? You know, like, oh, crap. Somebody get the, and I do see the shock value. It's great. And I kind of, Art, to a certain extent, I'd love to see them shipping them off to Silicon Valley and to Hollywood,
Chicago,
and to everywhere. But see, my big thing has always been Abbott just shipping them around on buses. right? Now, the strategic move that DeSantos did a different play on it, but it's illegal to bring these people into the country, and then the Biden administration is shipping them around in the middle of the night all over the place, and so we decide that we want to ship them around too. Now we're participating, just like the girls that and guys that get busted here once or twice a week, coming through, moving illegal aliens around in the back of their truck. You know, they're like, "Oh shoot, now I'm caught. Now I'm going to jail," and these guys go free.
I can tell you something else, is that when they started moving into Arkansas up there, the blacks and the Mexicans started basically having gang warfare. I mean, when we left Arkansas, used to be a fairly peaceful town. A lot of times you'd sit out on a Friday or Saturday night, and you could hear gunfire. And it wasn't down by the river or anything, you know, like guys down there duck hunting or anything or shooting deer. This was gunfire in the city. The blacks and the Mexicans were having basically gang warfare with each other. So you want to talk about creating unrest, another part of the Kalergi plan.
Well, what I like, unlike the Obama administration where they did it in the middle of the night, Governor Abbott and Governor DeSantis, they did it broad daylight for everybody to see. And I love what they're doing because they're putting into the, they're dropping these people right in their own, in the Democrats' backyard. Let the Democrats get a taste of what they've been inflicting for years. And let's do it in broad daylight. Ship them in broad daylight. Send them to Chicago. Send them to San Francisco. Send them to L.A. Send them to all these sanctuary cities. Let them deal. If you want open immigration, let you deal with it. You people that want it, let's dump them. And let's see if Nancy Pelosi still thinks walls don't work.
And to support your point, there's a little bit of red pilling going on there too, because when they get up at the White House and they have to defend that, well, you ship all these illegal aliens all over the place in the middle of the night. Technically, sir, 3 o'clock in the morning is not the middle of the night.
it's early like morning.
Going, it's like, F you. Right. You know, seriously, you know, you do, I do rules for thee, but not for me. Right. And that Martha's Vineyard was beautiful at doing. Right. The pretty people said, we don't want your brown people. Right. Get them out of there. 125. Military servicemen. Right. We call them that. National Guard came to move 50 of them. Why were they afraid? Did they put them in cuffs first? You know, they're chilly.
I don't know.
Chickenos, and then they got them on the bus.
You know, ship them to Aspen, Colorado, or Vail Beaver Creek. You know, I went skiing at Vail Beaver Creek one time, and the police drove damn turbo Saabs. You want to talk about a rich community? I mean, it was ship them up there. Yeah, how do you like it now?
Yeah, I need a new
car. Well, you got to remember, the median home price in Martha's Vineyard is $1 million. Yeah. That's for rock bottom, okay. And it's 89% white. And the one thing that they admitted they were lacking was diversity. Well, DeSantis is just trying to help them be more diverse. That's all. But isn't it interesting that it took them
Barack Obama own a place out on Martha's Vineyard? You know, they've got their diversity.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the what I find very interesting is it took them, even though they claimed they did not have the resources to handle 50 illegals. It took them less than 24 hours to get rid of them. So much for diversity.
Yeah.
So much. I mean, so much for open doors.
Yeah, it's amazing how fast they can move if it's somebody important. You know, it's like, wow.
That not in my backyard.
Well, not in my gated community. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it was a welcome distraction from the queen or whatever, the new queen, Charles the Queen.
hey, Steve, bringing this up, I just got the paper, you know, local paper, and they're planning on building like a new 370-something unit, apartment complex, anywhere from 1 to 3 bedroom apartments. They're building it right next to this wonderful little gated community over on the east side of town over there, right as you're going out of town, you know, on Mariposa Drive over there. And guess what? the gated community people are raising holy hell that you're not going to build an apartment complex over here next to our beautiful gated community. Hell no. They're all in arms about it.
I like that. Let them yell.
Where is this at?
Here in Fredericksburg.
Oh, Fredericksburg.
Really?
Yeah, we've got the Richies, and then we got the Normies, and we've got the crack places. You know, it's a regular place right now. But yeah, I like them fighting. They're like, oh, I have such a beautiful gate. It's like, yeah, well,
you're going to bring our property values down.
Right? Maybe you need an AR-15. Right? Yeah, well, there
anyway,
you go.
I just thought I would throw that into the mix there and kind of give my little opinion on it. But I think it's great. Let's ship these illegals to these Democrat strongholds and let them, if they want open borders and they want free flowing across the borders, then I say let's give them to the people who claim that they want them. You Democrats want them, you got them.
Hey, Mark, how about when they're trying to cross the border, stop them at the border, hand them an M16 or a Laws rocket or. Claymore mines and say, go back and take care of your country. You know, don't come over here. Here's your freedom weapon. You know, go back to your country and take care of your own crap.
Well, here's what really troubles me with this whole thing is you talk to some of these illegals, and I've watched some of the interviews, and I can't even count how many of them. All they say is the same thing. Coming for a better life. I'm trying to escape poverty. And this and that and the other. It's like, yeah, but go and look at the neighborhoods that you people create. You come over here claiming you want a fresh start, a new beginning. You want to get away from the poverty and the crime and all that crap. But then you set up in neighborhoods and turn those neighborhoods into little mini whatever it was that you left to start with. It makes about as much sense as a Democrat leaving New York, coming down to the Deep South, and then voting Democrat.
Sure. So, you know, in 75 when they did, the Vietnamese, airlifts, everyone remembers, the people hanging off all the helicopters, leaving the embassy and everything. Fort Smith, Arkansas, right outside Fort Smith is a place called Fort Chaffee. And yes, folks, this is a detention camp. And so I can tell you there is one in this country for damn sure. You know, they brought thousands and thousands of these people over there. But, the Vietnamese that they brought over, the first generation, a lot of them stayed in our community there, and they started businesses. They had their own little communities. But they basically integrated into American life. Within like two generations of those Vietnamese coming over there, their kids were little freaking gangbangers, and it started all kinds of holy hell in these little.
I don't think it takes two generations anymore. It just takes one generation now with the internet. You get them upgraded to Tide Pod eating crazy. Non-sexual.
Most of the original people that came over were pretty decent people. You meet them. I had no problem with them, but man, their offspring after a couple of generations were just little pieces of crap.
Yeah, I know where you're talking about, Alan, because I lived in I lived in Eureka Springs for a while, and
we used to go over to Arkansas.
We used to go over to Fort Smith like once a month, so we would go right by there. Anyway, just thought I'd throw in my two cents.
Thanks, Art.
Y'all have a great one.
Okay, appreciate the call. Let's go on to Kathleen. Kathleen in Texas, welcome to the show. Is she still here? Hello, Kathleen. Da, 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 da. Did we lose her? We might have lost her. We'll see. But anyways, where were we at? Before we were... Well, you can call into the show, by the way.
You were going on tiny houses. We'll get back to tiny houses. How about that?
Okay. We'll go back to tiny houses. I don't know. There's something amazing that I... There's something amazing about everything. The tiny houses argument is that, right, to house the population, we need to make these little teeny tiny houses, right? And everybody has to have a new way. Right. There's a new way. And 3D printing houses is an interesting idea, right, where they take a printer and they haul it in on a truck and they set it up. And, most of the 3D printing houses, they squirt out a cementitious material. It's like concrete with plastic and various stuff like that. And they slowly, make the walls, We're making walls. We're making the roof, right? And they slowly make the roof, and then they make the roof, and then the printer's done. This new place, Azure, right? You know, the catchword. That's got to be a globalist catchphrase for, and I think it's for scam, actually. Azure 3D printing houses, right? And the words that they use, they're like, it's 75 or 70% faster to build than traditional ways. And I'm like, I don't know about that, man.
You know, Steve, I'm sure that's probably about the same process they use for making job Johnnies, which is basically what you're going to be living in. And this beautiful, wonderful piece of property can be yours for only $500,000.
Well,
it's like it's a job Johnny. You know, I live in a bathroom, you know.
Yeah. Well, they measure these things in square feet. Right, you know, and when you're looking at one of these things, you can start with a 10 by 10, right, so or 100 square feet unit, right? It's going to be 10 feet by 10 feet or 9 feet by 11 feet or, you know, however you want to get into it. You can do it whatever size you want. Azure allegedly makes these things out of recycled plastics. Right, so your floor is going to be plastic, your walls are going to be plastic, your roof is going to be plastic.
Oh, and it's just don't worry about the off-gassing. That's not a problem.
Yeah, it's just recyclable plastic. And when you're done, they can recycle it and make it into a bottle and serve you alcohol or something like that. Kathleen's back, I guess. Let's try to get her again. Oh, I guess. There she is.
Hey, Steve and Alan.
Hi.
Well, I'd like to just start by saying, you know, that downpour we had for one day?
Yeah.
Well, the most amazing thing is I look out, a grove of chives. It looks like a bouquet, you know, it has the little white flowers on the top, you know, going to seed, but beautiful, like and the asparagus just, I mean, everything just came back alive. It's amazing the different things that can live here in Texas. But the reason I called,
you know, Kathleen, let me say this because I noticed the same thing. In fact, yesterday when I went into town, I actually passed two tractors pulling big, hay cutters and hay rakes and everything. It's amazing, you know. After a drought, it seems like, you know, we had, what, like 9 months with almost no rainfall, nothing that would make anything grow, and we finally got enough rain to make things grow, and it's amazing. I mean, there's grass out here, you know, 2.5 feet tall now.
Oh, I know, and the sheep and the goats and the rabbits, everybody happy. Oh, and the chickens. And anyway.
Wow.
Yes. Oh, thank God we're in God's hands. The reason I called was last night, I in order to get up this early to hear your show, I have to, you know, go to bed early. But I heard Alan come on Dave's show, and I thought, oh, my gosh, how am I going to miss this? And it was so good, the rapport that Alan and Andy and Mike from Kentucky had, and Lynn. It was wonderful. I loved it. It was so enjoyable. So I just wanted to tell you that. And I also really respect hosts of shows that instead of putting a repeat on, that they actually get live people to take their
Isn't
show.
Nice?
I know,
yeah.
Lauren did that, and I was so grateful. You know, because it's so disappointing when it's just some repeat when you've got live listeners. Anyway, so I really like that. And then I would like to say that about the shipping people around. I know that the global evil players have been financing the movement of people throughout the world, infiltrating every white country. So I know that it's not the people themselves that have the money that's mobilizing them. So they're pawns, you know, pawns in the hands
pawns
of the globalists.
Pawns.
Pardon
mm-hmm.
me.
Yeah, on the grand chessboard. Yeah.
Yeah, they're pawns in the hands of these evil players, and then so my feeling is this. That and then the churches. I mean, that's horrible. The different churches shipping them for this has been going on for years. All flying them all over the country, and knowing that these people, wonderful children of God, who have been used as pawns by these horrible people, and then to compound things to have them shipped to different places as if they're refuse or something. So I too am against any of that because of the what it really means about these people that they are worthless and ha 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 and you know.
Yeah.
So I'm very much against it. I'd rather there was a big movement to put up the wall, whether it's legal or not.
The people that are in charge don't care what our opinion is. That's the straight fact, right? You know, they say, well, these people matter. We got to take care of them. But they're really pawns in a huge, huge chess game. You know, across the border in South America, we keep hearing that they're actually on TV talking about how great it is to come to America and and they're advertising and they're pointing people this direction, right? So they have an understanding that America is going to be. So somebody's doing that. Somebody pushes them across. The cartel from one of my sources, everybody that crosses owes the cartel. If you have cash, right, you could buy your way out. Otherwise, we'll get it from you later. We're going to get you across. Well, I don't want you to get me across. I'm going to cross on my own. Not my border, you aren't. Right? So then they become
give us your children.
To the, right?
You can't pay.
No.
Give us your children, and we'll put your child in sex slavery or whatever the hell they do.
Right? You know, and so these people get across, and they're beholden to who? The cartel. And then they're beholden to the U.S. government. And then,
mafia.
You know, Biden, yes, he is the mafia. Flying him around, right? But he doesn't know what he's doing, right? But then that mafia is doing that. And some of them, they give phones and try to track and whatever. But man, Kathleen, they talk about the great replacement. But the fact is that there's so many COVID jabbed individuals out there that every day that goes on, you go, what the hell is happening to all these squirted folk? Right? Are they going to all drop dead? And the only thing that's going to be left is the unvaxxed and the people that they shipped up from South America. The demographic could be just completely 100% different in 5 years. And
this kind of comes back, you know, to the plantation owners and the slaves, you know, where they just whipped and beat them every day. You know, it's like no, you know, it's like that was an investment. Those were their workers. They did, you know, granted, there probably were some really bad ones, but most of them, they took care of their property because they were the ones who brought in their crops, the ones who, you know, produced for them, you know, the slave owners. Whether you're black or white or pink or whatever the hell color you are, you know, your slaves, you know, that was property. You tried to keep them healthy because they were the ones that produced for you. Did they live great lives? No, but hell, sharecroppers, you know, was slavery. You know, you were paid. You didn't own the house you lived in. The money you did get, you bought from the company's store at the prices they wanted to sell to you. You know, that was slavery too. And those weren't a lot of those weren't black people. They were relatives of mine from my dad's side of the family in Newport, Arkansas, sharecroppers. You know, they didn't own a damn thing, and they were used their whole life. They just weren't called slaves. They were called sharecroppers.
Kathleen.
Well, thank you very much for having this forum because it's wonderful to be able to discuss all these topics and guys are always in my prayers, and Sam and Mike and Julie and all the listeners, and I really appreciate all of you.
And Kathleen, we appreciate you. You know, the RBN family, I call them family out there, because my family is basically dead to me because they're brainless. You, Sherry, I love people like you that have a brain that call in. We can have a great conversation. And I do want to take this opportunity to thank Dave Kopeck for trusting me with his show last night. I hope I didn't embarrass him. He called me up Friday night and said, "Hey, yeah, I'm out in the middle of the wilderness and can't really do my show," and didn't want to do a replay. He trusted me doing his show. And Dave, if you're listening, thank you for doing that and entrusting your show for me. I hope I didn't embarrass you. I was pretty fired up last night because I've had a pretty bad week, and talking with my friend Andy and some of the callers, you know, Lynn, made a new friend, Lynn. Thank you all for being out there, really.
All right. God love you. Thank you so much.
All right. Yeah, love you too, man. Yeah, that's great. I like live radio. I like the archives too. And let's do the quick pitch before we go into the break. We got a little bit more time before the break, but the quick pitch is this. You can get the archives to any one of these shows that are on Republic Broadcasting. You know, you just go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on the archive, and you can go back and hear last week's Republic of Texas Radio, or you can hear last night's Red Pill Politics. Man, I keep getting that wrong. Dave Kopeck's show. He calls in here for every once in a while. He's really fun. Like his show, by the way. But it's all supported by you. Right. And then, well, there's also the advertisers, and we have brought on a lot of advertisers, a lot of different ones. And I know some people go, oh, this and that, and this. But there's some good ones. There's some good ones, and there's some very important things out there, like your food and so forth. But donations also keep this ship afloat. So if you can, you know, kick in a little bit, support us, you know, man, I was looking at trying to get a raise next year from Republic Broadcasting. I was thinking about $108,000 a year, but currently I make zero. So I'm thinking that that's not going to happen.
Actually,
right?
Steve, if you really look at it, you know, as to everything, we actually end up in the negative because, you know, we've all lost friends and family and everything else for talking about what we do. You know, a lot of people don't like it. So actually, you know, if you look at it, we're getting negative pay, but we're still here. And folks, Steve and I, you know, we have tried, I think, unless like it lands on a holiday or something like that, we have tried either Steve's there or I'm there. We have tried to always be live every Sunday morning for y'all because y'all are our family. I this is one of the high points of my week, and that's really sad to say, you know. I used to have a pretty good life, but this world has turned into a nightmare.
World is always turning. It's always turning, you know. But that's it. You know, support RBN, right? So I want to get on, and I guess I'm going to close down the phone lines. I'll go ahead and take a look and see if I got anybody in my queue, and we'll take that last person if that exists. But it looks like the decks are cleared, and we're going to go on right before, and we're going to have to cover this after the break, talking about water. Man, how is it that I want to talk about Nevada so much and Lake Mead? Probably because the story of Lake Mead and the water problem is going to be, well, these are going to be things that are happening globally. And they're going to blame it on the global climate WAPU or something like that, right? It's the climate is doing it. And, yeah, weather's doing it. But we don't know with this, the Colorado River, right? So this is a story of, well, who the hell knows, right? It's of government, of governmental bodies, the LCRA. Oh, they're the good guys, right? Are they? You know, the Lower Colorado River Association. Yeah, they do an awful lot of stuff. They drive around in these trucks, and we see them around here. And I'm kind of wondering what the hell we're seeing them around here for. I guess there's part of the Colorado comes down here to Texas, or do we just let them be here? We have an underground water district here in Fredericksburg that spans multiple counties. and some administrator is put in charge of what they call our water resources. Who are these people that are being put in charge of water resources? So, you know, as you watch that, the question is in Colorado, right? You know, they got together about 100 years ago, and they decided that this state gets this much water from the Colorado River, this state gets this much, the Indians get this much, and the Native Americans, sorry. And so they partitioned it off, right? And Arizona got that, and Nevada got that, and whatnot. And so now we come to the end where they've overgrown, right? They've sucked it down. Did they suck it down, right? Is the runoff more? Because I don't know if you can get any facts. You know, the facts that come out
millions
of these.
Millions of invaders come in, and the infrastructure can't keep up with an invasion.
Yeah. Well, my big thing is, are they stealing water from the Colorado to do something with? You know, I mean, it's possible.
I would say yes, Steve. I would say somehow they're diverting it. They're running it down. They're releasing more. It's like, you know, the Arkansas River that flows into the Mississippi in Arkansas starts in Colorado. You know, I've been 1,000 feet over it. Royal Gorge Bridge is over the Arkansas River in Colorado. That's where it starts at. So, but anyhow, that's a side point.
Yeah, I know. We look forward to these wonderful events. Las Vegas, right? An article came out this week, and I don't know, some dang Las Vegas newspaper was talking about how Las Vegas doesn't even use its share of the Colorado River as per their agreement, you know, 100 years ago. But right now, they're measuring... they're measuring water in per capita use. Let's see, how is they actually put that to you? Yeah, per capita, right? So each individual, they say, gets this much water. So right now, per capita in Las Vegas, it's at 110 gallons per capita. That would be per day. So they're like, but we are going to cut back even more. We're going to get people down to 87 gallons, you know, a day. These numbers are really fascinating, because when you hit the number 87, you're like, well, why the hell 87? Why not 80? Why not 90?
Hey, Steve, why
it's
not
a psychological
Arrakis
operation?
Steve,
go ahead.
Steve, why not Arrakis, Dune, the desert planet?
Well, one step at a time, Alan. One step at a time. Because first they have to get people
slowly,
you know, to scale
slowly
down.
So they don't notice it happening. Yes, you're right.
Slowly, as I left California in an RV and I parked in the middle of the Baja Desert, right, having to support my own water for a week, you know, you ever... you ever become conscious of how much water you use to wash every day? To wash a dish, how you touch your dishes is different. Everything is about the water. Hang on, folks. We'll be right back. Republic of Texas Radio.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, I'm Steve O'Brien. That's Alan Crutcher, and we're at the last half hour. We're not taking any calls for the rest of this time, and we're just going to spin it down and talk about what we're talking about. And water is what I want to talk about to end this thing up, because we've been talking about water for years. Water meters, these digital water meters that they're installing. They installed them back in 2011. In the city of Fredericksburg, they tried to put meters on people's private wells. And our former sheriff, he still had some clout. He says, "I'm going to shoot you if you put that damn thing on mine." And well, they're not going to take a fight with the former sheriff, right? And so they didn't put the meter on his private well. Right? He lived in the city, but they want that, these smart meters. Right, they want to be able to watch everything you can do, or everything that you do, and it's coming down, and we're seeing it in Las Vegas. We're seeing it, firsthand as they start squeezing the people. You got to take shorter showers. Now it's the educational campaign, right? And don't think that this isn't a campaign. They've been thinking about it, having meetings on it. They ate plenty of donuts trying to come up with this kind of crap, right? And small sandwiches too. These guys, they're evil. They're called planners, and they don't even know that they're evil, right? They think that they're helping humanity. The American Planning Association, right? So they're like, well, you have to do this, and you have to do this. And you go, well, how do you know that? Well, because it's in the book. The book is the book of planning, right? I'm a planner.
Hey, Steve, let me break in real quick. Folks, Steve's been a friend of mine. That's the only friend I have here, and I remember sitting down with him and talking about his exodus from Egypt. I mean, California, basically it was like he has his own exodus. I mean, staying in Slab City and living along a canal and getting barrels of water out of the canal and La Migre coming up and everything. It was exciting. I'm sitting here just remembering my talks with Steve, when I first met him. Fascinating story.
Yeah, it is, and it's fascinating to all that education and where it got me, and I don't know where the hell it got me yet, but I know water, and a lot of people are going to know a little bit about water. I'm still fascinated that people don't know what water is. One of my friends came up with a pitcher, right, and he's all, check this out, now you don't have to buy water. I go, what is it? He says it's a water pitcher.
It's like who was it that goes around to college campuses, and says, "I've got a petition here. We need to ban dihydrogen monoxide. It kills thousands of people every year. We need to ban dihydrogen monoxide." And most of the idiots at these college campuses just signed a petition to ban dihydrogen monoxide, and only a couple of them said, "Wait a minute, that's two hydrogens and an oxygen. That's water, And they're but this is the world of idiots that we live in.
Right.
Hydrogen monoxide. Yeah.
Well, yeah. But in the future, water is going to be important. It probably already is. No, it already is. Dr. Parker talked a lot about water and primary water. It's been gone a long time, right? You know, it's got to have been gone.
The Earth is making it all the time.
Yeah. Okay. You know, maybe the filtration system that the Earth goes through to take the poisoned water that we give it back and then turn it into something, I could see that, you know. So maybe I'm wrong, but I know all of our water sucks. You know, here in Texas, we stand above huge caverns of water that they say are below us, right? And we drill holes, and then we connect into them, and we suck the water out, and then we use it. But we've been using chemicals on our plants around here for a lot of years, and these chemicals leach into the water system and go down and populate the cavern, which contaminates it, right? And they don't see the problem with it. And maybe the problem is California again.
We can't release what our fracking chemicals are. You try to find out about that, you go to prison. You know, because it's all just good stuff. It's just like gumdrops, you know, and that we're injecting down there to, you know, to do fracking. But you see,
the problems,
once again, those are the aquifers. That's not the primary water system. Those are the aquifers that we draw out of mainly. You know, they don't want us knowing that the Earth actually makes water constantly, like it makes oil. It's not. Oil is abiotic. It is not made from dead dinosaurs.
Yeah, I just don't know. I'm not a geologist. I remember a geologist once, you know, that I did some work for him, though, and this is kind of a side conversation, but it was damn funny, Alan. I think I already told you about it. You know, when I'm sitting there hooking up is whatever the hell I'm hooking up, and then I'm done, and then, you know, he started, I turned on the TV or something, we were doing the TV, and then he says, you know, global warming isn't real, and I'm like, yeah, I know it's not real.
We've got one.
And he says, no, I got proof. And I go, okay, so does everybody else. I know it's not real. Well, how do you know? Well, I kind of paid attention, and they don't have good facts. And he goes, because, you know, I'm a geologist. And I go, okay.
I did a thought crime. I actually thought.
Yeah, and he tells me that he did samples, and he can prove it in the samples, and so can his peers. But they all remain silent because, well, that, you know, they don't want to lose their livelihood.
You actually speak the truth. Yeah.
They're screwed.
In today's world, people, unfortunately, that's what I encountered, which is why I was much happier digging ditches and putting in water lines. Unfortunately, the water lines I put in created new neighborhoods in this, and everyone from San Francisco boiled into here. But go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know where this whole thing goes, but global warming, dying, vaxxed people, right? They're the same thing, right? Are they? You know, they're trying to create this world, and they we're going to get rid of gasoline cars. What are you going to replace it with? Electric cars. Yeah, okay, you're funny. Damn funny. How are you going to upgrade the grid? Well, we're going to work that out, right? No, you're not. You're killing people. They're going to die. So they're not going to need power. Why are you building tiny houses? You're going to have a whole bunch of empty houses when all these people that took the injection pass away. You know, are they dying? I don't know. It seems like it. Well, look, there goes a football player. Oh, there's a soccer guy. Oh, damn tennis star. Another broadcaster over there, right? Oh, teacher just collapsed on stage. You're going, oh, no.
You know, Steve,
that's normal.
I was saying, you know, that you know, I helped, you know, put in, sewage lines and water lines and did water.
We
built one neighborhood that had like four, it was close to 400, you know, services that we put in, you know. Put in, you know, all the, you know, laid the sewer lines, laid the water lines, did the water connections and everything, you know, to the properties, to the individual lots. And actually, I've got one of my, she's like a second cousin of mine. They actually retired and they bought a house out there, you know. And I said, oh, you're living out there. I said, well, you know, every time you flush your toilet, it works because I was there. Do you know every time you turn your tap on, it's because I was there. You know, it's like. I was proud because we did good work. You know, we did not have a problem. There's been no problem. You know, we put it in right, the way I like doing things, and the guy I worked with, we did everything right. We didn't just do it to get by. We did it the best we could, you know. And unfortunately, I was kind of inadvertently part of the destruction of my freaking community because all these people moved in here, and it's become a nightmare. But, you know, I could stand back and look at what I did, except for I couldn't look at it because it was anywhere from 4 to 8 feet underground. But it was like I could stand back and say, I did that. You know, I was proud of what I did because when I do things, I try to do it well and do it right. And, you know, that's just me. I'm a freak in today's world. I know I am.
Yeah. Well, anyways. Yeah, I want to talk about toilets next week. I want to talk about smart toilets a little bit. So you're bringing up sewage and stuff. You know, because so I'm going to do a little research.
You'll be
this
pooping
week
out RFID chips, and it will know whether you took your medication or not. Yeah,
our world is going into a closed system, Alan. So you got to be prepared for the future. Yeah. So you should hear about what's coming up, and you can fight against it. I totally support you fighting against it, all y'all. Everybody out there, right? I'm with you, right? But back to my water thing. Over in Arizona, it's pretty much a planning person. She's she's a consultant. I don't know what is her actual name here.
I would call him a leech.
Yeah, it definitely is. But anyways, they're going through the problem of Chandler, Arizona, you know, is having a problem because, well, they're part of the Colorado River, and she tells the town, nothing to see here, folks. You know, those are my words, you know, not hers. You know, I got the article up, but I can't find the little tasty bits, right? But there's no problem. Everything's in good shape. Move along. Now, again, when you look at somebody, you look at their title, right? Oh, if you heard, title is resource advisor. Isn't that great? No responsibility. Her job is to advise. She doesn't make any plays, right? So she says, nothing here. Move along, right? That's our advisor. Now you look at the picture, and maybe I shouldn't judge people so much, but this poor individual, you know, she's young, you know, probably born somewhere around 80 something, right? 89, somewhere around there.
Let me see. We're playing poker, and I've dealt five cards, and I've got four hearts. How much do I bet to hope that I get another heart? For my one card that I draw. Yeah, that's what a consultant is.
Yeah, I don't know. But the poor lady, you know, I did do a little bit of research on this article, this person, because I thought it was rather blusterous to say, we're fine, nothing to see here, folks. And, yeah, she's a planner, you know. She's telling everybody
Steve, what they want to hear. The consultant thing here, do you remember I think you were here. You know, they were saying, oh, man, we've got such bad traffic congestion in Fredericksburg now. It's like, you know, this and this and that. And it's like, we're going to hire a company and pay them like $800,000 to figure out how we can solve our traffic problems in downtown Fredericksburg. And I was sitting there going,
Time the lights
like you do at night. So if you drive the speed limit, which is 30 miles an hour through town, if you drive the speed limit, you can go straight through town and never hit a red light. Because if you hit a green light, and you're doing 30 miles an hour, you hit a green light all the way through town because the lights are timed. And you know what the consulting company came up with? Well, if you time the lights, so if you drive the speed limit all the way through town, you go straight through town and you won't have the traffic congestion. And I'm like, people that I told this to, I said, did you read the result of this consulting firm that they paid $800,000 to come in and figure out? But you know what they figured out? If you
time the lights
like you do at night, so if you do the speed limit, you go right through town and you don't get stopped.
And they still don't do that.
I know.
You know, and they still don't do it. You know, they're like, wow, that's
insanity.
A great idea.
It's graft, greed, and corruption everywhere you go.
We're going to tell TxDOT, right, Texas Department of Transportation, to do that. And they say, oh, okay, I'm going to file this right over here in my filer. It's all gone.
Steve, a friend of ours, actually, he moved to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And, he's actually started working for, he's a civil engineer, and he started working for TxDOT. And I was like, God help you, my friend.
Yeah, it's, some people working in the belly of the beast, and they understand what's going on. We need important, we need engineers that know the truth. We need all sorts of professions that know the truth. But everybody goes, can you handle the truth? No, I guess I go, can you handle the truth? Here on RBN, there's a lot of, there's a lot of opinions, right? By everybody, by me, right? By you, Alan. You have definitives. There's lines, and even Andy. Let's do Andy real quick, because it's always fun to see if Andy fits under the bus.
But I love that guy, and I'm not even a faggot. Yeah,
I know. Anyways, Andy says, the death jab, right? And I go, do you know that? Do you really know that? Well, okay. In the end, it might be an overstatement.
My mother's still alive, but I stuck a maggot on her arm, so I know it wasn't a placebo.
There's a fear in my soul, right? It gets more unfounded constantly. No, but sometimes people don't want to deal with their realities being crushed. I mean, my time out in the desert, you mentioned that, when I was parked in the Baja Desert. It was hot in the Baja Desert in the sun. And during that time, I had the time to rethink my thoughts on the moon landing, because it was hot. And I had solar panels, and I got water. And I go, well, okay, so if I was on the moon, would it be hot or cold? Well, if it's really cold, I got to heat it. Can't heat it with these batteries. And there's all sorts of different arguments where you talk about moon landing stuff. This week, there was another guy that allegedly his dad was over at the base that they filmed the moon landing. He was a guard, and he came out. And, he died a few months ago. And so he made a recording, and I should have played that for you guys. Maybe I'll play it next week. I don't know. But he talks about the moon landing being
RV that he fled, that he did his exodus from California in, is sitting out on my property here, and it's got an old style 454 motor in it. And Steve, do you think that if we went out and drained the oil out and reconditioned that motor,
we could fire that up
running without a computer engineer to do it?
Right. Yeah, I could fire that thing up. Because the old stuff was good. Right. There's not much. It's all mechanical. The block's still good. The rings are still good. You'd have to do some stuff. I had a problem with that 454. And now we're off subject totally. But, the engine was actually froze up. And I'm going, oh, crap, my engine's froze. And what happened was the water got into the rings and froze the pistons. And I'm like, well, I want to drive it. We can't drive it. So we were talking to me and Alan, and we're like, well, how do we do this? I wonder if we can use WD-40, right? And so we're like, okay, spark plugs out, WD-40 in all the holes. There you go. Let it sit for a little bit. Get under there with the screwdriver. Hey, she's a-moving. All of a sudden, she's a-moving. She's a-moving. Drain the oil,
Got a Holley carburetor sitting on top of it.
Rebuild the carb, get all the crap out of it. And that was easy. You still could do it without gaskets. Sometimes we forget in this world that just because we're rebuilding something means that we have to buy the special gasket kit and really it could be just one thing that's screwed up, and it's not the gaskets that are actually bad. Sometimes the gaskets are a single-use gasket. I get that. Right,
and Steve, I had my brother pop the hood on his new truck. You can't even see a spark plug wire. To change the spark plugs, you have to drop the engine, disconnect the transmission, and take the body panels off to get to the spark plugs. In today's world,
there aren't spark plugs wires anymore. They use single coils. They call them coil packs, and you put that thing on a spark plug. And you attach wires to it. That's it. It's a coil pack. So the whole, they've been overly technical, nonsense.
I've got a 1948 Ford 8N tractor out here. And if you go out and if you can get it to kick over and it doesn't do anything, it's like, well, then you test. You put a screwdriver up in one of the spark plug boots and see if there's spark. Well, if there's spark, you know, your coil, your condenser's good, you know. And then you take the carburetor off. And the carburetor is very simple. I've got
the
instruction
manual
that tells you how to strip this thing to the crankshaft with a flathead screwdriver and 11/16-inch wrench. You can take this tractor down to the damn crankshaft with just like two or three tools. Very simple. Why did it have to change?
Yeah, it's the old stuff. The old stuff is really nice. But, hey, you know, one of the things I liked about I like about Dave Kopeck's show, Red Pill Politics, is, well, his understanding that things are going to get a lot really stupid, and that's my word, really quick. And you all know what's going on out there, right? Keep your nose to the grindstone. And, well, I know now is not a time to back off from all this stuff because, I don't know.
It's ingrained. It is ubiquitous. This technological nightmare is the one world ubiquitous. It's expected to be there, and it is there, and there ain't no going back.
Collapsing on all the people in the world, right? They're being isolated, separated, kept aside, you know, and surfed, right? If Andy's right, they're all being killed, right? Maybe I'm right, too, that they're being killed by the jab, they're being killed by this. I don't know, right? But they're taking everything away. Shipping is, well, who the hell knows anymore? Who the hell knows?
Well, Steve, it's as simple as this. You know, I'm sitting here watching one of your kittens you gave me. She's playing with these packing beads that I got from, you know, I ordered some stuff from the Power Hour, you know. But, you know, the Power Hour, they don't use styrofoam packing beads. These packing beads, if you put them in water, they melt, you know. So I don't mind my kitten playing with these packing beads that came from the Power Hour because they're basically as organic, I guess, as you'll find. You know, they're not styrofoam, so I don't have to worry about her eating this crap, you know. And certain people, there are good people everywhere out there, just like our RBN listeners. Y'all are my friends. Y'all are my family because I don't, besides Steve in my local area, I ain't got many friends and don't see a lot of people. I live with my animals.
But. Yeah, a lot of us wish we could do that, you know. But, you know, we all have to live where we have to live, you know. Yeah. And that's just the truth of things. Well, you all have a great Sunday. Thanks for listening. I'll see you later.
I will say take care out there, folks. You know, be careful. Take care. We love y'all.
All right. Till next week. Our brothers and sisters were clothed and fed. Praise the Mother Earth and the fire of the sky. Paid attention to each little blessing in this life. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl.
The tree of life is us, my friends. Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's SusannaS. Secret.com. SusannaSecret.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.